President Young, Professor Durham, distinguished delegates, it's a pleasure to meet with you today. I'm also cognizant of the fact that, except for a few summations, I'm about the last thing between you and personal freedom, if not religious freedom. So I shall also try to be brief. And President Young and I did not have an opportunity to compare each other's remarks beforehand, so forgive me if mine are in some instances a bit redundant. But I wanted to give you a little overview today of our office at the Department of State, the International Religious Freedom Act, and how they operate. I also bring the greetings of my boss, Ambassador at Large for International Religious Freedom, John Hanford, and his best wishes for a successful and fruitful symposium. So I will give you a brief outline of the Office of International Religious Freedom within the U.S. Department of State and our role in implementing the U.S. International Religious Freedom Act. The International Religious Freedom Act was, as President Young mentioned, passed unanimously by the U.S. Congress, Senate and House of Representatives, and signed into law by President Clinton on October 27, 1998. The act was the result of several years of discussions among academics, congressional staffers, human rights, and faith-based organizations, and the Department of State on how to more effectively confront religious discrimination and persecutions abroad. The act and its unusual unanimous support in Congress is an outgrowth of the strong support for religious freedom expressed by Americans since the beginnings of our country. Many of those who immigrated to America over the years came here to enjoy greater freedom to practice their religious beliefs. And freedom of religion is the first liberty guaranteed in the Bill of Rights of our Constitution. The importance Americans have long attached to religious liberty was reflected in one of the earliest speeches of Abraham Lincoln. On January 27, 1838, as a young Illinois state legislator, Abraham Lincoln gave a famous speech to the Springfield Young Men's Lyceum on the perpetuation of our political institutions. And he introduced his remarks by summarizing the purposes or ends of government. And these are to uphold the civil and religious liberty of the people. While Americans hold religious liberty in high regard in our social and political systems, the International Religious Freedom Act is not intended to impose American law or principles abroad. Rather, it is a recognition that religious freedom is a universally acknowledged international legal right, enshrined in international covenants and declarations, such as the United Nations Universal Declaration of Human Rights, the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, the Declaration on Elimination of All Forms of Intolerance and of Discrimination Based on Religion or Belief, the Helsinki Accords, and many others. Now, the 1998 Act established three new entities within the U.S. government to promote international religious freedom. Title I of the Act established an Office of International Religious Freedom within our Foreign Office, the Department of State, headed by an ambassador at large, the president's personal representative on this issue. And he acts also as a principal advisor to the President and the Secretary of State on matters concerning religious freedom abroad. Title II of the Act mandated the establishment of the independent and bipartisan United States Commission on International Religious Freedom, the role of which has just been explained to you by its former chairman, President Young. And Title III of the Act established a special advisor on international religious freedom within the National Security Council, which position is also currently filled by Ambassador Hanford. Now, this year we're commemorating the 10th anniversary of the International Religious Freedom Act. And in an observance at the White House in July, attended by members of Congress and other officials, President Bush observed that the act, and I quote, created vital diplomatic tools to help our government to promote religious liberty abroad. The act has placed religious liberty where it belongs, at the center of U.S. foreign policy, close quote. The Office of International Religious Freedom has the mission of promoting religious freedom as a core objective of U.S. foreign policy. It monitors religious persecution and discrimination worldwide, recommends and implements policies in respective regions or countries, and develops programs to promote religious freedom. These objectives are carried out through various instrumentalities, including, first, diplomacy with foreign government officials at all levels, as well as meetings with religious and human rights groups, both within the United States and abroad, to address religious freedom issues. Second, the annual report on international religious freedom, which contains an introduction, executive summary, and separate chapters describing the status of religious freedom in each of 198 countries and areas throughout the world. This report is mandated by the Act and thus presented to the U.S. Congress. It is a public document available online and in book form from the U.S. Government Printing Office. Our latest 2008 report was released on September 19th, and any of you interested can find it on the State Department's website, www.state.gov, G-O-V. A third tool is testimony before the United States Congress on issues of international religious freedom. Fourth, close cooperation with the independent U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom. Fifth, where diplomacy has not been successful in resolving religious freedom issues, the Act provides for the designation by the Secretary of State, under authority delegated by the President, of states that have engaged in or tolerated particularly severe violations of religious freedom as countries of particular concern under the International Religious Freedom Act. Nations so designated may be subject to further actions, including economic sanctions by the United States. And finally, sixth, last tool is programs of outreach to U.S. religious communities and faith-based groups. So with this introduction to the Act, as well as our Office of International Religious Freedom and its role, I look forward to responding to your questions and discussing further with you our mutual interests in promoting international religious freedom. Thank you.